Este Domnul. Amin. Să știți că sunt două lucruri de ce sunt la biserica aceasta și eu și Laura. În primul rând că Domnul Iisus este aici.
Amin.
Și al doilea rând pentru că avem copii și tineri ca aceștia. Și v-aș îndemna, măcar o dată pe lună, să mai dați un job de ăsta fiecare, o dată pe lună. Haideți să ne ridicăm în picioare. And we're going to read from Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. And then Matthew 6, verse 1 through 4. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those that are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now we'll go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no rewards from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that what your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen.
Amen.
Have a seat. Now, I know everybody's here thankful, but how many of the youth are thankful to God? Raise your hands. How many of you feel blessed? And that's everybody. Really, my biggest thing tonight and this afternoon is I feel blessed. We talked, and the pastor this morning talked so wonderfully about the history of Thanksgiving, about the how they came to America, and how they discovered it, and everything was wonderful. And I wanted to kind of move on to the next part, is why are we so thankful? And that's because we have been blessings. And blessing. And tonight's message is going to be blessed and about giving. If you remember last time we talked about the Sermon on the Mount, and last time we talked from Matthew 6:25, seek the kingdom of God. We talked about God's ultimate goal for us, and that is, in the end, it's going to be that we want to be there with God in His kingdom. Last time we talked about it and said, don't worry about the things of this world, what we will eat, drink, wear. Instead, our entire purpose is God's glorious kingdom. Our purpose in this earthly life can be summed up in three sentences. Praise God, worship God, bring Him glory, and the fourth one is learning to live a life worth His kingdom, right? We talked about last time. We have to live a life that's going to be worth being there in heaven. Before we proceed, I want to recommend to you that as you read the Bible and study the Word of God, you make it simple. See, I'm not a theologian or a philosopher. I don't want to, and I don't want you to be that type of person either. Instead, read the Bible and come up with simple principles by which you can live and learn and study and practice. And hopefully today, this afternoon, we can learn some practical ways from the Word of God. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is the teacher. We already talked about that. There are a lot of essential standards by which we need to live in order to one day enter His kingdom. In the words of Ed Zetzer, one of the writers, everything we do is about a life to be lived on earth and a future to be anticipated in heaven. That's just wonderful. We are anticipating heaven. We are anticipating the kingdom of God. Now, first slide, you will see that the kingdom of God is inherited. Everybody is invited. That is why Christ came down on earth, and God sent His only Son to die for us. That was the invitation. But now it's our next part, and this is to inherit the kingdom of God. So who is who is the ones that are going to be in the kingdom of God? And those two people are going to be the blessed ones and the ones that are going to be giving. So who are the blessed ones? Well, poor in spirit, those who mourn, the gentle, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, pure at heart, peacemaker, and persecuted for righteousness. But we always want to talk about who are not the ones that are blessed, who are not going to be the inherited. And that's going to be on the next slides. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 10, it says the unrighteous, the immoral people, adulterers, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, swindlers. You see, the question is here, which one are you? In what side are you? And since we're here today, God is already blessing us for being here, and hopefully that we will be on the blessed side. Now let's go through that first one, is poor in spirits. I'm just going to pick a few of them because I know we're already tired. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm going to pick a few that are important. Poor in spirit. It refers to those that are helpless, hopeless, in despair, unworthy, and feeling empty. It describes a lot of people in our society nowadays. It may be someone at church today, but it may be a family member, friend, a person you sit next to at school, a person on a plane or at work that you've worked with every single day. The standing principle of living, what we need to learn today is that we need to humble ourselves. That is going to be the first step we need to take in order to get to heaven and to the kingdom of God, is to humble ourselves. Only the broken need God's mercy. Humble is the opposite of pride. God doesn't want prideful people. God isn't going to let people that don't need him into his kingdom. On the next slide, you're going to see it's important for you to understand that the way you see pride is different than what God sees. So the first part over there is that as your pride increases and you're boasting about it and your success, guess what's happening to God? He sees you as decreasing. So on the right side, you see how you're farther actually away from the kingdom of God. So the higher your pride goes, you go away from God. You go away from the standard that he wants you to be at. So our responsibility is to humble ourselves and the people around us to be able to see that. Now, let's go back to the previous slide. The reason for being humble and poor, and every slide will have a reason, is because you acknowledge the need for Christ's salvation. I do. We have to acknowledge, first step is that God, we need God's and Christ's salvation. The next principle, two slides over. The next principle of living is to mourn. Suffer and have remorse. First, you notice you're helpless and hopeless. You acknowledge that we need God in our life. Then we suffer and mourn for our sins. This is important because, yes, Jesus died for our sins, and that's it. See, he goes a little bit beyond that. It's important that we have the responsibility to repent our sin. We have to do it over and over and over in our lives. And we have to have some form of remorse towards sin. The opposite of mourning and suffering is bragging. You can't brag about sin. If you're bragging, then you do not need God and his mercy. I want to go further. In the first step, we acknowledge that the need for God's salvation then is suffering. We obtain God's salvation through repenting. You see, God allows us to suffer so we can see our sins. Not the sin of our neighbors, the sin of our friends or family members. God lets us suffer so we can see our own sin. For those that repent and suffer, God's promises them that they will obtain God's mercy and salvation. The first step is that we know that we need his salvation, and the second step is that we obtain it. Moving on is going to be, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. I don't know how many of you have read the book Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, but I remember reading it in college. And the entire book, it's about an atheist. C.S. Lewis initially was an atheist and a very scientific person. He was a professor at Oxford. And one of the things he did is he always felt something is more is there. There's more truth to his existence. He After all that education, after all everything that he has ever gone through, he noticed that there must be something else. So what he did, he continued to study it. See, the people that thirst and hunger for God's truth, they always come to the same conclusion. God's existence and his plan for us is to one day be with him in the kingdom. Are you hungry and thirsty for righteousness? We talked about this righteousness before when we talked about the armor of God in Ephesians 6:14. Righteousness like an armor on your chest. Being hungry and thirsty means you can't live without it. Jesus is teaching us with this verse that we cannot live without righteousness. He wants us to practice righteousness in our daily life all the time. What's the opposite of hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Full, saturated with worldly desires. We are not careful if we are not careful and we feel ourselves only with worldly desires, then righteousness will disappear from our life. This is important because I want to help you understand this. The more television we watch, more music we listen to, the more time we spend hanging with friends, the more we fill our worldly desire, and miss being hungry for righteousness. This is important for me and you because as I grew up, I found doing so many things that weren't worth anything. But it sure takes away your time from practicing the Word of God and taking care of the soul and your family. So first step, we acknowledge the need for God's salvation. Second step is we obtain God's salvation. And third step is we practice God's salvation. Righteousness you need to practice. Next slide is going to be, blessed are those pure in heart, for they will see God. The only way we can have a pure heart is to be washed, purified by the blood of Jesus. In 1 John chapter 1, 7 verse says, we learn that only the blood of Christ can cleanse us from all our sins. This leads us to the fourth step. We need to let Jesus purify our heart, and as a result, we are like him. We're like Jesus. Nobody except through Jesus is going to be seeing the kingdom of God. Only through Jesus are we going to see the kingdom of God. We need to constantly seek to be holy, live in faith, and practice what Jesus would do. So this step is really our transformation into holiness. To be like Christ. The next step is going to be, blessed are those that are persecuted because of righteousness. Jesus starts out with there is the kingdom of God and finishes with the same statement. We go back, it says that only two people is going to be the kingdom of God. One is the poor in spirit because they need Christ, and then for the persecuted because they experience Christ. This is an important aspect of Christ's life. By being persecuted, we experience Christ. In John 15, verse 18, Jesus says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. As I grew up, I didn't like this idea of being persecuted. I mean, we were supposed to tell people about Christ, but then we were supposed to expect to be hated and discriminated. I didn't realize until I looked further into the Bible and realized if we're going to be like Jesus, we have to experience what he went through. That's an important factor, that you have to experience what Jesus went through. Also, this world hasn't changed. They didn't accept Jesus back then. The most holy person and most godly person that was at the time, and they didn't accept them. Thus, in this fifth step, is to allow us to be maltreated and hated for the Word of God, because through that, we experience what Jesus went through. But as young teenagers and adults, we may not have experienced this as much as maybe our parents did in Romania. But we can see daily that this is changing even here in the United States. Also, if we are not hated and maltreated, the question becomes is, are we doing enough for Christ? Are we talking about to our friends, to our family, to our co-workers? Are we really doing a good job about spreading the Word of God? Well, let's go a little bit further. It's not just about experiencing what Jesus did, because we really can't experience that to the full extent. We can understand it. But see, it's also by being persecuted, we test our skills and strength. Persecution will challenge your faith, will strengthen you as a believer. See, Paul and Silas in Acts 16:25, he was in prison for God, but they were singing a hymn. You see, being persecuted, you experience Jesus, strengthen your beliefs, and you get a cloud of joy overcomes you. But let me finish here with this last important teaching. Jesus doesn't say, "Bless are those that are persecuted for liking me, or those that are persecuted for saying I'm a Christian, or because you go to church." That's not what he says. Jesus says, "Blessed are those that are persecuted because of righteousness." That means that they are persecuted because we practice the word of God and his salvation entirely. We are not part-time Christian, but full-time Christians. We don't just act like Christ, but we live like Christ. We went through all the steps that can help us go through the kingdom of God, but there's one more that Jesus teaches about later, and that's where chapter 6 comes in. The last step, which Christ talks about, comes in Matthew 6, verse 1 and 2. This is the icing on the cake, giving. That's where we're here today. That's what we're doing all week. Like the morning we were preaching about, you don't just do it once a year. You have to do it every day. This is the icing on the cake because until now we talked about living like Christ, but now it's time to go to do action. Giving always requires an action. By giving, you have to act. Only through giving can God see your labor. But it's important to note that God wants to be the only person that knows about your giving. It's a contract between you and God. That's because he wants to make sure we don't fall captive to pride. We talked about that earlier, right? The further and higher we go on pride, the lower we go and the farther away do we go from the kingdom of God. Giving comes in many forms, simply by helping someone, caring for someone, saying words of encouragement. This week was Thanksgiving. Did you reflect on your blessings and then reflect on how much did you give to God and others of your time, of your resources? We think because we are young, sometimes we are exempt from doing this, but we're not. But God asks everyone to give because it's an action of his love for us. And the last slide is the one that I want you to remember well, because there's basically six steps that are going to help you in your pursuit of kingdom of heaven. If you can't memorize it, look at the video later this week and write them down, because they're essential for meeting the criteria to go to heaven. And also, as you go through all them, open the Bible, read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and learn and study. And everything that I said, take it with a grain of salt, but also go study it. Go check it. Make sure that it's accurate. By studying, you're only going to get stronger in your spiritual fight. May God help us accomplish all these steps, and one day see each other in heaven. Amen.
Amen.